Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
Praise the name of the Lord. Every time we receive the Word, it's a sacred moment. And what our hearts just be fixed on that. Father, we thank you for utterance. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for insight and understanding. In Jesus' mighty name, say a believing amen.
Amen.
All right. Hope everybody's good. You doing okay? Let's have verse 6. Speakers would say that this is the, what you call it in conferences? The graveyard session. Yeah? Session where head is overloaded with revelation knowledge. And you've had light lunch. But I know if you can survive the graveyard session, you can survive it anywhere in the world. All right, just want to recommend a few of my books. You all want to take advantage of them. I wrote this called Handling Church Exits. Why People Leave and How to Handle It Gracefully. I'm a pastor's child, grew up in a pastor's home. People left our church. I planted our own church. People left me. I don't know if any of my kids want to be a pastor, but if they become pastors, people will also leave them. So people leaving is constant. How you handle it is a problem. So I address how to handle people leaving. And then I wrote this book called The Minister and His Damsel, Wisdom Essentials for Choosing a Spouse. Who you marry is important. Who you marry in the ministry is very important. And pastoral ministry, the kingdom way, and God is the greatest giver in the ministry, accessing supernatural supplies in ministry. So I'm reading over 20 books, covering several subjects, and you'll do well to take advantage of them. All right, let's pray. Let's get into the word. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. And together our faith is built up in the knowledge of the person of Jesus. I pray that light and understanding, signs, wonders, and miracles will take place at the teaching of your word in Jesus' mighty name. Say a believing amen.
Amen.
All right, I want to be grateful to God for the opportunity to share alongside my spiritual father, Dr. David, and Apostle Israel, such profound and awesome revelation that has come forth. I want to continue on the foundation for kingdom-oriented ministry or kingdom-focused ministry. And I started talking about that yesterday. And our key verse yesterday was 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul speaking to Timothy says, "Now you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, and then love." And so I started talking about the love factor, that kingdom-oriented ministry starts with love, must be built on love. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. And we said that there are ways in which people preach Christ, that although Christ is a good message, it can be preached out of envy and strife. And if we're preaching or we're doing ministry out of envy and strife, then it's not built on the kingdom. It is true. Let's use the NLT version, please. It is true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, For they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful. It's amazing that people will set out to do ministry just to cause pains for other people. They say they're preaching, but they really don't want to preach Christ. They're preaching Christ because by preaching Christ, they'll cause me to experience more pain. When you look at it on the outside, it looks like they're preaching Christ. But when you check the motive, you realize that it's not about Christ. And I need you to pay attention to what I'm sharing today, because every revelation that we have heard is predicated on the motives of why we're teaching that. If our motives are impure, our works will be tried. And the interesting thing is, nobody can gauge your motive, only God can. That's why we started with the fact that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. Praise God. I said praise God. So what are the things we pick up there? We talked about foundation yesterday. Jealousy, rivalry, selfish ambition, not preaching not sincerely, intending to make Paul's pains more. A kingdom-oriented ministry must be born out of love, carried and administered by love. Our love work is the test and sign of our maturity. If our ministries are not built in love, we are not building a kingdom-focused ministry. Paul says, you've known my doctrine and you've known my love. Like Apostle said when he was teaching, today many people come into ministry because it's lucrative, because you'll be honored, because people will carry your bags, because when you go preach, they'll give you honorarium. There are so many things that we've brought into ministry today that if you take them out of ministry, many people will not be in ministry. I'll ask you a simple question. You're praying for revival in your community. What if God says, I will bring revival, but I will not use you? Would you still pray? Okay. I know it's looking like the speakers are not loud enough. Can you hear me? Did you hear what I just said? We're praying for revival. We want God to shake the world. And God says, I will answer that prayer, but I'll use someone else. Would you still be fervent? Because sometimes the reason we're praying the way we're praying is because we want God to use us. And we know it's not about revival. It's about us making the next book of the generals. Because if God is going to answer the prayer, whether he will use me or not, then what should I do? Go ahead and say, well, use whoever you want to use. I just want to see transformation. Are you blessed? Let's talk about love. Let's talk about love. The first thing a minister must establish is this. It's a very simple statement, but a powerful statement. God loves you. It's simple, right? God loves you. There are ministers battling with self-esteem. They cannot tell if God loves them. So you know what? They want to grow the church, so God will love them. They want to heal the sick, so God will love them. They want to do this, so God will love them. What I'm telling you this afternoon is, if you don't win any more soul, if you don't heal any more sick, if you don't build any more church, I came to preach the gospel to you again, that God loves you. God does not love you because of what you are doing for him. It looks fundamental, but I'm seeing a lot of self-esteem issues of ministers trying to use ministry to please God. And so they take their self-esteem from what they have achieved. God loves you in spite of your weakness, in spite of your infirmities, in spite of your inability to get certain things right. Know the love of God. I know this doesn't sound so strong to preach in a minister's meeting. This is what I'm preaching, and I have the mic now, and you have to listen. God loves you. When a child feels love, they are secured. And we battle with self-esteem issues because we don't know the love of God. And I'm going to show you scriptures. I was well brought up. I'm not just telling you stuff. I'm going to show you scriptures. That one of the prayers Paul prayed is that your eyes will be open, that you will be rooted and be grounded in the love of God. We will stop trying to fill up our inadequacies by our achievement in ministry. You're a prophet, so what? You're an apostle, so what? You're an evangelist, so what? Before you were a prophet, God loves you. Come on, somebody say, God loves me. Romans chapter 8. Or let's, yeah, we can do Romans chapter 8. The love of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The love of God. What then shall we say? Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all this? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Praise the name of the Lord. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. It says nothing will separate us from the love. Because sometimes when we go through nakedness, we question the love of God. When we see signs of famine, we question the love of God. The only reason you're seated there and feeling like you're not called of God is because you are allowing your experience determine the love of God for you. And you're rating God's love by what you have, as opposed to knowing that God loves you. He died for you. He shed his blood on the cross for you. You are a loved son of a loved God. Nothing separates us from the love of God. And all these things come to separate you from that knowledge of love. And so you're trying to answer the name prophet because you feel like prophet is the in thing. You're trying to answer an apostle is the in thing. Or you're trying to get a doctorate degree when you can hardly write a letter. You're trying to fill up something. God loves you. And if we understand that God loves us, we will move ministry from performance to relationship. Because our performance is that we're trying to earn marks with God. Praise God. You know, there's something about being secure in your life and in your calling and in your assignment. I remember one time I went to preach to my dad in South Africa. And a very amazing, loving brother came to me. I was to preach. Well, I didn't plan to preach. I just followed my dad to the meeting. Just wanted to serve him. And our host told me, you're going to preach tonight. It was a big meeting. You know, and this man came very loving, very loving. Put his hands on my shoulders. He says, Maxwell, I know what's going through your mind now. You have very big shoes to fill. Your father's shoes to fill. And I looked at him with love in my eyes, firmness in my heart. And I said, I'm not trying to fill his shoes. I came with my own. I'm not trying to step into anybody's shoes. This is not a competition of filling shoes. I'm loved by God just the way I am. If not, I will do ministry seeking validation. And I am not. I am rest assured in God's love, in how God has made me, in the abilities God has given to me, in the call He's put in my life. It's not a competition of trying to match up your father or trying to match up the next minister. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, this looks simple, but it will deal with root issues, because a lot of competition, it comes out of that feeling of not love. So if I do this, then God will love me more. Then if I do this, if I build a big church, then God is going to be very happy with me. No. If you don't build a big church, God still loves you. There's so much striving in ministry. So much trying to become what you're not. People trying to prophesy when they're seeing nothing. I was in a meeting. I don't know how I even stumbled in that meeting. And a guy was saying, I see letter K. It's not very clear. I see letter K. I just sat down. Why are you disturbing us? If it's not clear, then wait till it's clear before you tell us. You're wasting our time. You're seeing letter K. It's not clear. What should I do with that? I have 10 minutes waiting on your unclear vision. 10 minutes of my time. Waiting on you to try to see a letter that's not clear. You're trying to be a prophet when you're seeing nothing. It's not clear. And you're wasting everybody's time. I'm saying, hey, if what you're seeing is not clear, shut up, teach the word, close the Bible, sit down, let's go home. Maybe 2 days later I'll become clearer, then we can come and hear what you have to say. Just don't allow people waste your time. Life is measured in time. If people don't value their time, you value yours. That's why you can't sit in every conference. Sometimes people use 3 hours and listen to trash. No new revelation, no insight, nothing. And they say we had a good time. Good time is measured in value, not entertainment. I don't bring people to church and waste their time. Praise God. Are you still here? Are you learning something? 1 John chapter 4 verse 16. Don't try to force a gift God has not given to you. God loves you and gave you what you need for your assignment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't force prophecy. If you are not seeing anything, open the Bible, read. One time, starting the church, a woman came and said, do they see in this church? I said, no, we don't see. We are all blind. Get out from here. Because they put you under pressure, trying to prophesy after every meeting. And you start lying. I sense a spirit of this year. And people call spirit all kind of names. Near success syndrome spirit. I'm like, if you read books, you will know that everybody who succeeded failed a lot of times before they succeeded. There's no spirit for that. It's just things. Near success syndrome spirit. What's that? Everybody who has succeeded had near success syndrome stuff. Because if you're going to succeed at anything, you will try a couple of things first. He just sold us his story. And all of this is because we don't feel loved. So we just feel if we do something, God is going to love us more. I've got 2 kids. My son is 16. He's going to the university this year. He's taller than me. He's 6'3". My little girl is 12. And sometimes I have to explain to my son that you're 5 years older than your sister, so she receives a different kind of love. Because she's young. And you don't have to do anything to increase the love. This is love per growth. Praise God. And you know how kids do. She knows she's the youngest one, so she plays on the love button. Right? So sometimes I'm traveling, and then she comes to me, she says, I need this. I said, don't worry, I got you. Got it for you. And then I come back, and I buy something for both of them, and then she has a whole lot of things. And then my son is looking and wondering, says, where is mine? I say, you didn't ask. The Bible says, if you ask, you would receive. You never ask for anything. And I'm not into mind reading. So you don't have to work to earn love. You are as much of a son as the little girl. But if you open your mouth, you will get what she got. The prodigal son says, give me. The father gave. The eldest one says, I've been working. And the father says, hey, that's not my fault. You're the one walking in ignorance. Everything I have is yours. If you wanted a goat, you can as well have it. There are people in ministry who are complaining that God is not blessing them. God is not doing things for them. They question the love of the Father. You've got to know God loves you. Who is the most qualified person to teach on love? A murderer who killed people. He's coming to that same synagogue to preach the same message that he killed people about. That man must know that he's loved. If not, he will not be able to open his mouth and preach the gospel. Paul has to be confident in the love of God, that his sins are forgiven. If not, he will not be able to preach. How do you stand in the same synagogue where you killed people and you stand before them and say, I've wronged no man? Somebody say, my friend, if it is joke, stop it. He said, finish this message, meet me at the back. How can you stand before people and say, I've wronged no man? You supervise Stephen's killing. How can you say you wronged no man? At least say, I wronged some people. God has forgiven me. Paul says, no, I wronged no man. Why? Because the one who supervised death died on the road to Damascus. The one preaching now is a new man in Christ Jesus. We know that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. We don't have a past. Our sins are forgiven, washed under the blood, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when I stand before demons and principalities and powers and stand before all forms of opposition, I'm standing as one that I've never sinned, because I'm loved of the Father. So if you've got 1,000 cathedral, you've got 1,000,000 churches, and you've got 1,000,000 members, and you've got $1,000 in your account, or like Apostle, you've traveled around the whole world, and you've never left your community, God loves all of us the same. We're not earning points with God. I said, we're not earning points with God. He loves me. And this is not a message to make you stay small. It's a message to make you enjoy your walk with God, that I'm loved of the Father. You're not trying to impress. Let me give you scriptures. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Rooted in God's love for us. 1 John 4, 16. Look at this. Can we read together? One to go is on the board. One to go. Can we read together? One to go. We have come to know what? No, hey, come on, church. Are you here? All right. Let's read together. One to go. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Let's read the first line together again. One to go. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. I know you know it. My question to you this afternoon, do you believe it? It says we've come to know. Not just a head knowledge of it. We've come to believe the love which God has for us. You know, the origin of the kingdom message is the fact that for God so loved the world that he sent his son. That's the basis. That's where everything starts. That's where everything starts. We've come to know and to, I believe, to know the love which God has for us. That God loves me. You see, if you are not rooted in this love, you cannot minister love. You know, sometimes it's difficult to love people who have not been loved. They are suspicious of everything. Yeah, they're suspicious of everything. You do something, they say, "And what do you really mean?" "I don't mean anything. I just did something." It's hard to love someone that have not experienced love. They don't know what it feels. Sometimes you can, when you tell some people, "I love you," "Yeah, true." It melts their heart. What's melting your heart? We say that all the time. Some of you have grown up now, you're laughing and pretending like you know what I'm saying, but you've never heard your father say, "I love you." Never heard him in his life. Maybe you tell you on his deathbed, "I'm about to die, but don't forget, I love you." Doesn't make meaning, because you're about to die now. You can as well keep your mouth. But when you grow up in a home where you experience love, where you feel loved, you don't come out of the world trying to seek validation. When somebody says, "I love you," it sounds familiar. So I hear that all the time. When we have not experienced love, we don't even know how to love our members. That's why we struggle to serve people. Because we grew up in places where it's authority, smash, grab. We don't even know how to be humans anymore. They greet you, "Good morning," say, "Shalom." What's that? You don't even know how to respond to greeting anymore. You don't know how to be normal anymore. Say, "How are you?" Say, "Bless you, sir." You see people, say, "I celebrate grace." What nonsense is that? You don't know how to be normal. Because you've grown up in this pastoral, aristocratic, there's no fellowship. And you wonder why your church is not growing. You don't know how to be normal. What you know how to do is just to preach. And you don't even know how to preach in love. The Bible says we speak the truth in love. That's what builds up. Truth spoken in love. Are you getting blessed? All right. Look at this. NIV says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." We know and we rely on it. We lean on it. NLT says, "We know how much God loves us. And we've put our trust in His love." God loves me too much to let me fail. He loves me too much. If I'm about to make a mistake, He will speak to me. He will give me dream. He will warn me. God loves me. He's looking after me. He loves me. He will protect me. He loves me. He will keep me. He loves me. He will guide me. He loves me. He will provide for me. I don't have to do something for Him to love me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me and shed His blood for me. I'm a loved son of a loved God. He loves me. I'm not trying to earn marks. I don't have to be an apostle to be loved of God. He loved me before I was one. He loved me before I was called. I didn't choose Him. He chose me. And He chose me out of love. If you play football, right? Remember, and you go to all those school field where they play football, and then they're choosing 11 people. You know, you might not know how to play football, but if they say one of the captains, if he's your friend, you know you'll be chosen. You will know that He chose you out of love. You can even choose and say, "No pass giver, mo." But say, "They my side, they my side." Say, "No pass giver." They know that with the football, man, you are the most unskillful player. See, but love will not allow Him not to choose you. You might not have the skill like every preacher. You might not preach like the best preacher in town. Your revelation might not be, you know, as high sounding as it. You might not be able to do what everybody does. But one thing you should never forget is that God loves me. You are skillful, but we're on the same team. And I'm here because of love, not by my ability. God loves me. And that's the foundation of kingdom ministry. Because when we received this love, then we can now be in a position to do what? To minister love. Our message will come with love.
Our correction will come with love. Like Apostle was saying, when I see the argument on social media and how we fight ourselves on social media, I just tell ourselves, these people have not, they don't know the love of God. Because even if someone is wrong, is that how to correct one? Rivalry, jealousy, bitterness. It's because you're trying to prove that you know. So people should not listen to this one. You are the one. And the very scripture says we should prefer one another. That means that if you have an opportunity, let someone go further. Putting off another man's candle won't make your own shine brighter. Yours will shine just the way it's shining. And if you know that, listen, only you cannot get the job done, you will relax. Going to the world was not written to only you. You are not the best thing that has happened to ministry. I know you feel like, but you're not. You're not the best thing that has happened to ministry. You are not God's Ronaldo. Neither you are God's Messi. If you don't follow football, forget about it. You're not God's most valuable player. Why Saul thinks that he's the best? God was the one that told Samuel, don't cry over him, I've rejected him. Go pick Jesse. Pick him from the backside of the desert and make him a ruler over my people. God sets up kingdoms and he brings down kingdoms. See, God loves us. We're not striving. This thing is not competition. Whatever grace God has not given to me, I'm not envious of it. I'm fine just the way I am. Praise God. A preacher came to preach for us in church and he said something and he blessed my heart. He said, I like the way you talk to your church members like their family. I can feel it. Right? We don't make announcements like we are reading to members of the parliament. On Saturday, women are meeting. On Friday, children are meeting. On Tuesday, this is thank you, bye, go home. What's that? No love. You share the graces. I see people are quarreling. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Boom. No love. Because the pastor don't even know how to love. If we're going to build transformational society, if we're going to transform society, they must see something in us that they don't have. And I'll tell you, whatever the world is looking for is love. The young girl who is sleeping around is looking for love. The young man who is smoking all kinds of stuff is looking for validation. And we must have received before we can give. Are you with me on this? In Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, let me go quickly because of my time. Matthew 3:17, the Bible says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. How can you say that, God? Jesus had never performed a miracle. He's never preached. Jesus had never done anything. This was the first. In fact, it's like somebody is being ordained into ministry, right, pastor? And hands were laid on the person. And they said, today we ordain you as a pastor. And as the person is standing up, God says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. What has he done? Can I tell you something? You're called into the ministry. Your obedience to say yes to God means that God is already pleased with you. Just by Jesus making that adjustment to say, you know what? I will go through this baptism. Let me explain something and follow me now. Follow me. I talked about how God sees the heart. Just Jesus saying, John, baptize me. God says, I'm pleased with you. Whether you raise any cripple, whether you preach any message, are you hearing what I'm saying? Because God knows that sets the motion. Abraham, Old Testament, right? God says, give me your only son. And Abraham says, let's go yonder and worship. And what did God say? God says, I know. I know. Just by taking that step, it's okay. You don't need to finish your ministry for God to be pleased with you. When you took the journey, God is pleased with you. Because this thing is a walk. It's a walk.
So we know the love of God. You can write other scriptures down, 1 John 4:9 to 10. But I'd like us to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Oh, quite interesting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody say, God is love. Say it one more time. Say, God is love. How will God send you on an errand and not give you transport money? Huh? Apostle. Once in a while, Apostle sent me to do some things for him. Right? Sometimes he would just say, oh, Pastor Max, I need to get this ticket. Quickly book it. I'm traveling or something. I will book it. Right? Even before he says, book it, I will pay. I will give you the money. You are a natural man. You know that you sent me to do something. It will be wickedness for you to send me on an errand and not give me the provision. How will God send you on ministry and the provisions are not available? You who is evil know how to good give. You see, let me tell you, that understanding is that there's a provision for every assignment puts you at rest. Puts you at rest. Look at this. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. NLT, please. NLT. Paul's prayer. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Look at this. Your roots will grow down into God's love. And what's that going to do? It's going to keep you strong. Grow your roots down in the love of God. Listen, this might look like a very simple message. Take this message home. Go and meditate on the love of God. It will change how you approach ministry. It will change how you even pray for money. You know, some of you pray for money like God is not hearing. You pray like you are praying to Baal. When those prophets were praying to Baal, Elisha mocked them. He said, shout louder. Maybe he traveled. When you hear some of us pray, it's like God has traveled. You will hear that say, God, I will not let you go. God is saying, hold me here and I'm spirit. Since you're holding me, I'm somewhere else. We pray like we're praying to God. There is no confidence in our prayer. Look at how Jesus stood before Lazarus' grave. He says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. One day, a lady in our church, they told her that the baby needed to come out at a certain time or something like that. If not, they were going to do CS. And she came, and executive pastor, Pastor Mary, brought out to me. I said, oh, okay. I put hands in her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baby, I just say that. And she went back. I think the next day she gave birth. We prayed for one that gave birth at home like that. Just things happening. And when she came to share the testimony, that's when I heard what she said. She said when she left that day, she was feeling like pastor did not even really take the prayer serious. Because she know what she wanted me to do. Oh God, oh baby, wherever you are, I speak to you. If I'm a man of God, who has that time? Am I the one answering the prayers? I'm not the one answering the prayers. And it's not in the loudness of my voice that made God hear. He's not deaf. Imagine I go meet my dad now. I say, oh, David, I have come. I mean, somebody's going to say, is this your father or he adopted you? Because relationship makes conversation easy. That's why people struggle to pray. Because everything they have is not conversation, it's need. I need car, I need husband, I need wife, I need another child, I need breakthrough, I need this. You don't get her? Yes, bye. There's no relationship, there's no fellowship. If there's fellowship, God can tell you. You heard what Apostle said. While I was praying, God said, make that trip. Hello? You heard the testimony, right? God said, you see, you can't copy that testimony. If you are saving vehicle for motor for vehicle, car, what's that? Saving money to buy vehicle. Keep your money.
Because that instruction is a relationship instruction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How will God even instruct us to seek the kingdom first when we are not even bothered about the kingdom? All your prayer requests, things. It says your heavenly Father knows. Didn't say your heavenly God. Your heavenly Father. I like what my dad used to say. He's God to all of creation, but he's Father to us. One of the songs I love the most is that there's no other name you like to be called than to be called Father. He has sent forth the Spirit of his Son to us that we might cry, Abba Father. That word Abba Father is a term in the Hebrew culture that means daddy. Affectionate term. When he said, when we pray, he didn't say, pray, our God, our Creator, Iron Breaker, the one who makes road where there is no road, the one who fetches baskets with water, water with basket, and basket is not leaking. Stop those trash. Call him Father. Call God sweet names. No! You don't know any sweet name to call him than Father. He paid the price so you can say Father. He didn't pay the price so you can call him Yahweh. He didn't pay the price, so you can call him Ebenezer, whatever. I don't know how people call God those names. Father! Everything Jesus did was for us to be able to call him Father. He didn't send you to call him sweet names again. Especially worship leaders, stop all those things. Tell God sweet things. People don't know what to say. They start saying nonsense. Say what is in the word. You don't trust everybody who is sitting in front of you. Tell God sweet things. You can start hearing, oh, the man upstairs. You are my darling Jesus, my friend. What do you mean by darling Jesus? Come on, say Father. There's something when hell hears you say Father. He's not just Creator. It brings confidence to our ministry. We will not do ministry to please God. It will now be an extension of the Father's love. You are extending the Father's love in South Africa. Doctor is extending the Father's love in Warri. You are extending the Father's love in Oshu. You are extending the Father's love in Port Harcourt. We will be extension of the Father's love. And there will be no room for competition anymore. Because I'll see you as my family member. I'll see you as my family member. And that we're building the kingdom of God together. If there's still rivalry, we have not learnt the love of God. And we have not trusted the love of God. Are you still here? The next thing, do you have the Good News Translation? Thank you, Lord. You have the Good News Translation? And I pray that Christ will make his home in your heart. I pray that you might have roots, your roots and foundation in love. Let your roots and your foundation be in love. Let me tell you, even the people who have not come to this message, we can't criticize them in. We have to love them in. Because let me tell you something. Apostle said it. Was it you that said it or dad that said it? I think you said it. The mystery is given. You don't struggle for revelation. That's why people teach nonsense. I say, the Spirit told me this. And you hear it like, no way. There's no way the Spirit would have told you this. Except mommy spirit. There's no way the Holy Ghost would have given you this revelation. Because it's not consistent with scriptures. That's why he said, hook up to someone you can learn revelation from. We don't have original revelation. Some of us will struggle for the rest of our lives. Paul says, the same things I've taught you, commit to faithful men who can teach the same things. You don't need to change it. The Matthew you are reading, are you the one that wrote it? It's someone else's documentation. It's someone else's story. And you know this thing of trying to be original is still pride. So we feel bad when we quote someone. We feel bad when we say, this is who I'm learning from. I remember when Bishop David Odebo came and began to talk about having an 18-hour long vision. Many people began to come also and say they had 1-hour vision, 30 minutes vision. And when you look at them and look at their life, you know that they had no vision. Why? Because it looks like your ministry is authentic when you have those encounters. You know, somebody asked me one time, say, which encounter brought you into the ministry? I said, no one. Don't have any encounter. I've not seen angel. I've not seen anything. I'm just doing what I'm doing. Angel called your middle name, picked you from bed. Look at you now. With all those angelic experiences, where are you? You know, sometimes we, and these things boost our confidence. God spoke to me, 3 o'clock, called my father's name. Who cares? And when you say that, I say, man, this guy carries strange grace. It's strange, actually. It's strange. And listen, if we don't deal with these things, we will lie on the pulpit just to show that we are anointed. You start telling lies. How did we get to the point where we started faking miracles? Why would a pastor ever be caught faking miracles? Who do you want to impress? If God will call you, not give you power to do miracles, you not go rest. I mean, what's my business? You called me that I should lead your people. One is blind. You didn't give me what to cure blind eyes. I'm just saying. You gave me a... I don't know what I'm doing. You are not the one that is answering the prayers. If you are not taking the glory, don't take the shame. If you are not taking the glory, don't take the shame. There's something my dad said many years ago that freed me from this. He said, every minister that shares the testimonies of miracles always tell you the one that happened. They never tell you the one that didn't happen. Come on, we are pastors. I'm not sure any of us have 100% record. But you know the ones you share. The one I told you now is the one I told you that I prayed for. And the woman gave birth. I didn't tell you the one I prayed for. And they still did see us. Because that one won't make me anointed. Or the one we prayed for and died. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If we know that we are loved of God, every experience will be a journey. You go back to the Father. I prayed for this one. Nothing happened. Is there something I need to learn? Is there something I need to work on? What is it, Lord? Are you hearing what? You are not like, oh God, you disappoint me. Why is it that pastors are turning away from the pulpit today? No love relationship. They promised them, if you fast 40 days, your church will grow. If you sow seed, your church will grow. If you take sand from this place and mix it with your sand, your church will grow. They've done all. And church had not grown. So there's frustration. It's not a love relationship. It's a master-slave relationship. Praise the name of the Lord. You know one of the reasons God loved David? David messed up. He ran to God. So I better fall in the hands of God than in the hands of David. David so trusted God. He was a bad guy. But is he any smart if David has repented? Oh Lord, don't leave me. Don't cast me. Don't leave your spirit from me. I mean, you know how people can be so... They are so much in love. They just cling to you. That's how David cling to God. I'd rather spend a day at your doorpost than 1,000 years outside. You can see David, just his dependency on the love of God. But Saul was so full of himself. He says, honor me before these people. They are going away from me. You came late. That's why I performed the sacrifice. People will always give excuses for performance. I'm doing this because people are wicked. That's why I'm not giving again. No, you're not giving because you're wicked. It's not because people are wicked. We're not honorable because people are honorable. We're honorable because we are honorable people. I give because of God's instruction. Your reaction to my giving is your problem. I used to give before until human beings showed me. They now showed you what was not in scripture. You now became wicked. And you are boasting. The love of God, listen to me. The love of God is reflected in loving the unlovable. If we can love the unlovable, we have not been perfected in love. The Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. Let me tell you, pastors, the fear that you will fail in ministry is because your love has not been perfected. Everything I do will prosper. I will not fail. God loves me so much. I mean, today I talk with that all the time, and we are amazed. We're spending thousands of dollars, literally thousands of dollars to host our own meeting in the U.S. and not $1 is coming from this country. You see people passionately paying for expensive places, putting up the meetings. Many years ago, it looked like a dream. Many years ago, it looked like it would never happen. I remember when we came to this place first, and every place here was just sand. Every place was sand. You remember your daughter was playing with sand when she came. See, some of you forget too easily. The God who gave you keyboard will give you tickets. The God who gave you one member will give you two members. The God who gave you $1,000 will give you $1,000. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why God told the children of Israel, keep a memorial. Take out your grandfather's pictures from your parlor and put the pictures of what God has done for you. You're seeing too many old people. Take a picture of when you started ministry. Put it there. Take a picture of when you preach somewhere. Put it there. And say, if God can take me from here to there, He will take me from there to here. Rooted in the love of God. God will not abandon us in this mission. Our lives will not end in failure. Our life will not end in confusion. Listen, we will make mistakes in this journey, but God loves us and He will correct our mistakes. He will forgive us and still use us as examples of His mercy. Are you still here? Praise God. Are you getting blessed? Is this deep enough? Because some of you like deep stuff that drown you. Is this deep enough? Let me try to go a bit deeper, right? One guy told me, say, your father teaches meat of the kingdom. I said, I teach the snacks of the kingdom. Do you have a problem with that? Eat meat and eat snacks. They are good. You know, people can be funny. If you let people alone, they'll just tell you nonsense. You listen to the word of God. Romans 14:15, he says, for if because of food, your brother or your sister is hurt, you are no longer walking in accordance with love. Do not destroy with your choice of food that person from whom Christ died. Oh boy, this is deep. This is really deep now. Look at what he said. He says, if my choice of food will make you stumble, he said, let me stop eating that food. You know what he's saying? Love will make me adopt an approach that does not destroy my brother. Today, we have churches, apostle, paying rent, higher rent, for buildings that a church is already existing. How did we get there? And tomorrow, say, we are taking over. Taking over means taking over even young, struggling churches. Love is not oppressive. It builds. Love edifies. But you look at this. You know, sometimes I tell our church folks, and I said, you're a church worker, you can't dress this way. It's not because this is sin. It's because if you appear like this, you will hurt someone's faith. And love means I can't appear like this. And that's what we tell our workers. We are under grace, Oga. Hold on. You don't use your message of grace to destroy another person's faith. Because love will say, you know what? If I do this, and so I tell our church workers, if you don't want to be a church worker, you want to be in a congregation, fantastic. You can wear what you want to wear, do whatever you want to do in the congregation. The word of God will transform you. But if you're going to stand here, then we want to check. Why? Romans 14. So that what I'm wearing will not cause someone to stumble. Love prefers the other. So we're not dealing with the same question. We're dealing with love. And I always tell people, I said, if you are conservative, you can reach extreme people. If you are extreme, you cannot reach conservative people. It's safe to be conservative. So you can reach both the conservative and the extreme. It's not that we don't know fashion, but we know Romans chapter 14, verse 15. so that we can reach all men.
Are you still here?
1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. By this we know what love is. Jesus.
Oh, put 1 John 3, 16 for me. Let me rush through this quickly. I've got 10 minutes. Are you getting blessed? I can't hear you. Are you getting blessed? Say amen. Are you getting blessed? All right. Or do you want me to tell you to shout fire?
1 John 3, 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. Hey, come on. What ought we to do? We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Was this a suggestion or a commandment?
Commandment.
That, listen, remember where I came from? Christ died and he loved us. Receiving that love puts us to lay our lives down for the brethren. This is tough. You know what? The Bible says, Jesus, knowing who he came from and where he was going to, knowing that he was the Son of God, took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. It started with knowing who he was. You can't lay your life down for your brethren if you don't know the love of God. Because you know what you're going to say? They are taking me for granted in this church. They don't know who I am. If not for ministry, I'm supposed to be a manager in NNPC. Shut up. You will not be a manager anywhere. You know, sometimes we preach to people like God punished us by calling us to them. We are almost apologetic. If we are not apologetic, we are blasting them. How can I be your pastor? One bag of rice, one bag in a year. I know what my mates are eating, but because of you people,
Oga, you are hungry. Pause. Go and look for food.
Pressure. See, let me tell you, there are sacrifices you will make for the ministry and you will count it a privilege. I say, thank you, Lord, that you counted me worthy. When they flogged the apostles, they said they thank the Lord that they were counted worthy to be flogged for the Lord. Imagine leaving this meeting and you are flogged. And then you show up and they say, do you have a testimony? They say, yes, praise the Lord. On my way yesterday, I was flogged 4 times. And I just want to thank God for counting me worthy to be flogged. What are you going through that makes you want to quit ministry? That you didn't eat chicken? That's what is making you say, I don't know, this is my call. If it's the real one, it's not the real one. What have you gone through? What persecution? They invited you for a program. They now canceled the program. It's why you are now crying. Lily-livered pastors, spineless pastors, CCs in the pulpit. Any smart in persecution? Smart in persecution. I was in Rome, and they took me to one, well, I don't know whether it's a real one, but they took me to one prison where they kept Peter, underground prison like that. As they were taking me, I said, it's okay. They said, let's go. I said, it's okay. Apostle, before they carry me, go to prison, because I don't forget key. I said, it's okay. I'm not God. I said, I can see it from here. It's okay. Because the place was dark inside. And you know the interesting thing? There was a church on top. The prison is called the Mamertine Prison. You can Google it and read about it. It's done in such a way that prisoners can be under and activities is going on. You understand what we're saying? So nobody has an idea that people are under. They wanted to tell, I say, from where I am now, I can see and I can read. Leave me here. It's okay. Place was so dark you couldn't even take pictures there. People came out from there and still preached the gospel. Your own light bulb went off. You are questioning your call. If I'm called, why can I not even just change my bulb? Well, Peter will look from and be like, should we? Is it a conquer slap, Lord? What do you recommend? Because what we call persecution today is child's play. Lions were let out to people in the Roman Colosseum. They would bring Christians and let lions loose to eat them. People will live there and still hold on to the faith. A bishop was about to be killed and he said, for 64 years I've loved my master and my master has loved me. He has not done anything for me to renounce the name of Jesus. When you sing the hymn, I pledge allegiance to the cross with all I am and with all I have. Sing such songs. We inspire devotion in your heart. But there's something that makes me run into your presence. My helper, victim mentality all the time. Looking for no commitment. Every time you run into his presence, run into his presence, run into his presence. What are you looking for? Extra 100,000. Extra 50,000. We can't change the world if we don't believe the love of the Father. How will you take your resources and build an orphanage when you are not even thinking of orphans? You are thinking of the next property to buy. How much will be enough for you? Then you start thinking of the next person. Because this love has to reflect in those who do not have. Praise God. Alright, 5 more minutes. Let me wrap up here. Paul represented this scripture when he says in Acts 20:24, however, NIV, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task. God's Word translation says, I do not place any value on my own life. I want to finish the race. New Living Translation says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned by the Lord Jesus. Give me the NLT. NLT version, please. Thank you, Lord. Acts 20:24. Doctor read it. Look at this. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of telling others the good news. How can a man stand and say, my life is worth nothing to me? Most of the way we designed our ministry is self-preservation. Why don't we talk of missions anymore? Send someone to a village now, he will complain. Say, they punish me in this ministry. When I'm about to reap the fruit of my labor, they posted me. Because we now determine where rewards and labors come from. If it is truly about souls, we will go anywhere souls are going. Apostle shared a story with us. I want to travel with you. So I'm going to Kenya. I say, not be there. Okay. So where are you going to Australia? Everybody God is calling out of the country now is Canada, US, and UK. God is not calling anyone to Congo. God is not calling anyone to Niger. God is not calling anyone to Cameroon. Lastly, I'll end with this. This love work must come in our relationship. You are pastors. I'll give you the story. Acts 15:37-39. God's Paul and Barnabas were going on an apostolic mission. In verse 39, the Bible says they had a sharp disagreement. A sharp disagreement. What was the disagreement? If Mark should travel with them. But you see, Paul told Timothy, say, follow my love work. Guess what? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very helpful for me. The sharp disagreement in Acts, Paul had to swallow his pride. You look at someone and say, you will not travel with me. You're not on my apostolic team. You will not do ministry with me. And years down the line, looking for who to call, that same person whom you have said you will not do, you open your mouth and say, bring him. He's useful to me in ministry. You know what's going to happen? People will look at you and say, you know what? You are weak. You are not a man of your words. But that's what love does. Love reconciles relationship. There's no kingdom relationship that should not be able to be reconciled. If we all drop our egos, if we all drop what we feel, we don't need to have fractured relationships. Things might have gone wrong. We might not have handled things well. But love calls for, because this is about the kingdom. We will not let a brother be estranged if he can benefit the kingdom if he's with us. The love of God not only forgives our mistakes, the love of God forgives other people's mistakes. Because there are places in ministry we will never get to if we don't learn collaboration. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now the one who plants and the one who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. We're not anything. I tell my people all the time, God could use anyone to pastor this church. God could use anyone to do what we're doing. We're just privileged to be doing what God has asked us to do. If I had the time, and my time is up and that's enough time, but if I had the time, I would have taken us to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 to 6 and see what the God kind of love is. It doesn't count wrong. It does not get easily irritated. The love of God forgives. It's patient. It's kind. It builds up. Can you just put that up for me, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13, 1, 3, verse 5. Let's just read that. And does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Our ministry must not seek its own. We must help others. I believe the day will come after meetings like this, and some pastors have come for these meetings. As they are going back, we should be able to support them with sound systems, cars, things they need for the work of the ministry. Not just what we can, but what other ministries can benefit. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. If you want to pastor people like God, don't take account of wrong suffered. People will wrong you as a pastor. But let your heart be yielded. Next. Thank you, Lord. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Amplified version. Don't rejoice when other people fail. Somebody left your ministry and is doing badly and you are happy. What do you gain that another person is suffering? You say they left grace. Huh? Does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Let's stand on our feet. My time is up. And I like you to take a solemn moment. And don't rush over this. Take a solemn moment and look into your heart.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805-888-7575.